Have you ever thought about like talking to someone while they're completely asleep? It sounds kind of crazy, right?
No, like science fiction.
But that's actually what we're going to be looking at today.
Exactly.
We're diving into instrumental transcommunication.
ITC.
And to help us explore this, we have
Clive Segner.
Clive Segner and his book.
Further recordings with sleeping people.
Yeah.
This book builds on his previous work,
Okay.
Recording Conversations with Spirits.
So he's
He's been
obviously,
doing this for a while.
yeah, he's been working in this area for quite some time.
Absolutely.
So before we jump into Segner's findings, can you give us a little bit of a
Yeah.
background on what ITC is and how it works?
Yeah, so essentially, ITC researchers use technology to facilitate communication.
Okay.
And this could be audio recordings, sometimes with specific types of background noise
Okay.
that are thought to help bridge the gap between our waking world and other states of consciousness, like sleep.
So
So he's using, and Segner's work focuses specifically on contacting sleeping individuals and attempting to have real conversations with them.
it's not just picking up random words or murmurs, it's actively trying to get information from.
So specific answers, insights.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's a pretty bold goal.
It is.
How do you even begin to prove that you're making contact?
So one of the ways Segner tries to verify these communications is by using pre-agreed upon questions with answers he wouldn't know beforehand.
Okay.
So it's like setting up a test with a control to ensure that the responses aren't just random chance.
Right. Okay. So there's a methodology to it.
Yes.
I'm curious, what kind of special background noise are we talking about here?
Ah.
Is it like white noise or is it?
It can vary depending on the researcher, but often it involves things like radiostatic modulated tones or even specially designed audio loops.
Okay.
The idea is that these sounds might create a kind of bridge or conduit for communication to flow through.
So it's almost like giving a specific
Yeah.
pathway or something,
Exactly.
right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a little more technical than just
Right.
talking to someone.
It's not just talking in your sleep.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. I could see how that would lend some credibility to it.
Right.
But let's get back to Segner and his methods.
Okay.
Are there any examples where this pre-agreed question technique actually worked?
There are actually quite a few compelling examples in the book.
Okay.
He asked a participant named James McQuiddy in England to name his mother while sleeping, and James responded with Betty.
Okay.
Later, when he woke up, he confirmed that was indeed his mother's name.
Wow, that's pretty striking.
His.
It makes you wonder what's going on in the mind during sleep.
Absolutely.
Are there other cases like that where the answers were accurate?
Absolutely. In another case, he asked Cheryl Calder about the color of her first car.
Okay.
And while sleeping, she replied, yellow.
Yellow.
Turns out it was a 1973 Firebird Trans Am in buttercup yellow.
A buttercup yellow Trans Am. That's pretty specific.
It is.
It's not like he could have just guessed that.
Right.
It really makes you wonder if she's tapping into some kind of memory
Exactly.
or information that she wouldn't have access
All
to while
right.
awake.
Consciously.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
And then there's the case of Marty Mullen, who correctly answered a series of questions while asleep, including his favorite music genre, blues, a body part. He has trouble controlling his feet and even his childhood nickname.
Wait, what was the nickname?
It was Muggs.
Mugs.
He mentions it in his testimonial about the experiment.
Mugs. Okay, I love that.
Yeah.
So we're seeing a pattern here of specific details being recalled accurately.
Yes.
But I'm assuming it wasn't all smooth sailing, right?
Right.
Were there times when this method didn't work?
You're right. Segner's research indicates about a 50% success rate.
Okay.
Not all the answers were accurate, but interestingly, even the incorrect ones often seemed related to the question in some way. Segner attempts to explain these inconsistencies through the concept of spirit travel during sleep.
Okay, spirit travel.
Yes.
Tell me more about that.
To understand this concept, we need to look at the work of psychics Catherine and Brian Lovelady,
Okay.
who claim to communicate with Jesus.
Oh, hold on a second.
That's a pretty big claim.
They claim to communicate with Jesus.
That's what they profess, and Segner draws upon their experiences in his book.
Okay.
Based on their communications, the idea is that during sleep, our spirits can journey to various spiritual dimensions.
Okay.
And according to this framework, the further a spirit travels from the physical realm, the less they remember about their human life,
Okay.
which might explain the hazy or inaccurate answers in some of these ITC experiments.
So it's almost like there's a type of like soul jet lag.
That's a great way to put it.
The further you travel, the more disoriented you become.
And it's a concept that Siegmer uses to explain the sometimes confusing nature of these communications with sleeping individuals.
Okay.
It suggests that we're dealing with more than just subconscious thoughts or dream imagery, but potentially a deeper level of consciousness that's influenced by these spiritual journeys.
It's a lot to wrap your head around.
It is.
But before we get too lost in the spiritual dimensions,
yeah,
I want to come back down to the experience of the people being contacted.
Okay.
Did Siegmer ask them about what it was like to be on the receiving end of this communication?
He did. He interviewed 15 people who participated in his ITC experiments, all of whom, it's important to note, gave consent beforehand.
Okay.
He wanted to understand what they were experiencing during those moments of contact.
What did they say?
Most of them reported being aware that their physical body was asleep while they were communicating with Siegmer.
Oh, wow.
They described their environments in very interesting ways, often using words like beautiful light birds and nature.
So they're tapping into like another world.
Exactly. It challenges our usual perceptions of sleep and suggests that there might be much more going on beneath the surface than we realize.
Right.
And their descriptions were often quite poetic and evocative. One person even described their experience as awful, but Siegmer believes they meant it in the older sense of the word, meaning full of awe.
Oh, okay. Full of awe.
Yeah.
That makes a little more sense.
Right.
Were there any other interesting descriptions?
One particularly cryptic response was, your appropriate place is not good at all.
Whoa.
Which is certainly open to interpretation.
What do you think that could mean?
It's hard to say for sure without more context, but it definitely highlights the mysterious nature of these communications.
Right.
And it raises the question of whether these individuals are somehow accessing knowledge or perspectives that are beyond the reach of their waking minds.
Yeah, like their physical body's appropriate place isn't good, but maybe their soul is somewhere else.
It's fascinating to consider, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it seems there's even more to uncover when we look at the way these sleeping individuals responded to questions about pain.
Oh, that's right. I remember that Siegmer specifically asked about pain, even with participants who were known to be dealing with illnesses.
Yeah.
What did he find there?
One of the most striking observations from his research is that none of the sleeping individuals, even those battling serious illnesses, reported feeling any pain while they were communicating with him.
Really?
Yeah.
So there's like a total disconnect between.
Exactly. It challenges our understanding of how pain is experienced.
Wow.
And raises the possibility that consciousness, or at least some aspect of it, might be able to exist independently of the physical body's limitations.
It's almost like those near-death experiences that you hear about.
That's a great connection.
Where people go through something really traumatic.
Right.
But don't feel any pain.
And Siegmer actually provides a couple of specific examples in his book to illustrate this pain-free phenomenon.
Okay.
He mentions two individuals, Darris and Carl, both of whom were battling serious illnesses but reported feeling no pain during their ITC sessions.
So do you think these findings could have implications for, like, pain management?
That's a really interesting thought.
Or even therapeutic approaches.
It's certainly an area that warrants further investigation.
Yeah, like what if we could tap into this pain-free state in a controlled way to help people
exactly
who are suffering?
Siegmer's work seems to align with the experiences of William Bulman, an out-of-body experience researcher, who actually used out-of-body techniques for pain relief during his own cancer treatment.
So there's a connection there between ITC,
right,
out-of-body experiences, and pain management.
It's definitely a possibility worth exploring.
Wow. It's amazing to think that we might be able to access these altered states of consciousness for therapeutic benefit.
It is.
And this idea of consciousness persisting beyond the physical body is further highlighted in one of Siegmer's most compelling case studies.
Okay.
It involves a man named Harold who had a rather unique hobby.
Okay.
What was Harold's hobby?
He was an avid penny collector.
A penny collector.
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
Right. It's a simple hobby, but it played a significant role in Siegmer's research because he was able to communicate with Harold both while he was sleeping and after he passed away.
Hold on. You're saying he used ITC to communicate with Harold's spirit after he died?
That's correct. He used the same techniques he'd used during Harold's sleep sessions.
Okay.
And what's remarkable is that Harold's responses about his penny collection and past events were consistent both when he was alive and after his passing.
That's incredible. It really does suggest that some aspect of Harold's personality, his memories, his interests, remained intact even after death.
Precisely. It raises profound questions about the nature of consciousness, the possibility of life after death, and the potential for continued communication beyond the physical realm.
It really challenges our conventional understanding of these things.
It does.
Did Signer talk about anything else in his interactions with Harold?
He did. They had a particularly touching exchange about Harold's children and a deceased friend named Glenn. It's a very personal and emotional part of the book that really highlights the potential for ITC to facilitate profound connections even across the veil of death.
It's pretty amazing to think that we can potentially maintain those bonds with loved ones even after they're gone.
It is. It's a concept that's filled with both promise and complexity, and it's something that Signer acknowledges in his writing. He doesn't shy away from the emotional weight of these experiences or the potential for both positive and negative implications.
So why sleep? What is it about the sleep state that makes it so conducive to these types of communication?
That's a great question, and it's one that Signer explores in depth.
Okay.
The theory is that during sleep, our conscious mind, with all its filters and inhibitions, is less active, allowing for other levels of consciousness to emerge.
Okay.
This could potentially make us more receptive to subtle energies or communications that might be blocked out in our waking state.
So our minds are more open, more permeable to these other realms when we're asleep.
Exactly. And some researchers believe that the transition states of sleep, like when we're drifting off or waking up, are particularly conducive to these types of experiences.
Okay.
There's a sense of liminality of being between worlds that might make us more sensitive to these subtle communications.
That's really fascinating. It makes me wonder if we've all had these kinds of experiences without even realizing it. Maybe those strange dreams that we can never quite remember, or those feelings of waking up with a sudden sense of knowing something we didn't know before, are glimpses into this other realm of communication.
It's certainly a possibility worth considering, and it highlights the idea that sleep might be much more than just a period of rest and rejuvenation.
Right.
It could be a time when our consciousness expands and connects with dimensions beyond our usual waking awareness.
It really is a mind-expanding concept.
It is.
It makes me want to learn more about the different stages of sleep and how they might relate to these experiences.
Yeah.
But before we go down that rabbit hole, I want to bring us back to Signer's work and what it all means. Okay. So after diving deep into Signer's research and hearing about all these incredible examples, what are your main takeaways? What does this all tell us about the potential of ITC and the nature of consciousness itself?
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm left with a swirling mix of fascination and a healthy dose of skepticism.
Yeah, I think that's a perfectly natural reaction.
Yeah.
I mean, Signer's work opens up so many intriguing possibilities.
Absolutely.
But it's crucial to remember that we're dealing with a field that's still largely unexplored by mainstream science.
Exactly. We need more rigorous studies with larger sample sizes and controlled environments to determine whether these communications are truly what Signer claims them to be.
Yeah, we've heard some pretty incredible anecdotes, but as you said earlier, more research is needed to really understand what's going on here.
And to rule out alternative explanations like subconscious influence or even the possibility of researcher bias.
Right. It's important to keep those critical thinking hats on.
Yeah.
But even with that healthy skepticism in mind, I can't help but feel a sense of awe at the potential here.
Yeah.
If even a fraction of what Signer suggests is true, it completely changes our understanding of consciousness.
Yeah.
And the nature of reality itself.
I agree. It challenges our assumptions about the limitations of the human mind and the boundaries between life and death.
Right.
And it raises questions about the very fabric of existence.
Yeah.
What if consciousness isn't confined to our physical bodies?
Mm.
What if we're all interconnected in ways we can't even begin to fathom?
Those are some seriously big questions.
They are.
And honestly, I'm not sure I have any answers.
Yeah.
But I think that's what makes this deep dive so compelling.
Right.
It pushes us to expand our thinking to consider possibilities that might have seemed outlandish before.
Exactly. And for me, one of the most thought-provoking aspects of Signer's work is the potential for ITC to be used for healing and personal growth.
Right.
Imagine if we could tap into these expanded states of consciousness to access hidden memories or to connect with loved ones who have passed away.
That would be incredible.
It would.
It's almost like opening up a new frontier.
It is.
Of human experience and understanding.
And while there's still so much we don't know, the very act of exploring these possibilities can be transformative in itself.
Okay.
It encourages us to question our assumptions, to be open to new ways of perceiving the world, and to embrace the mysteries that lie beyond our current understanding.
So where do we go from here? If someone listening to this wants to learn more about ITC or even try it out for themselves, what would you recommend?
Well, I'd certainly encourage them to check out Sener's website.
Okay.
He has a wealth of information available, including audio recordings of his ITC sessions.
Oh, wow.
But I'd also caution them to approach this topic with a discerning mind.
Okay.
It's easy to get swept up in the excitement, but it's important to be critical of the information you encounter and to form your own conclusions based on the evidence.
That's excellent advice.
Yeah.
And for anyone who's interested in diving deeper into the scientific research on consciousness and altered states, there are some amazing resources out there.
Right.
We'll be sure to include some links in the show notes.
Great idea. And remember, whether you believe in the possibility of ITC or not, the very act of questioning, exploring, and expanding our awareness is a journey worth taking.
Couldn't agree more. This has been an incredible deep dive. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise and insights with us.
My pleasure. It's been a fascinating conversation. And who knows, maybe one day we'll be able to connect with you through ITC while you're sleeping. Just kidding.
Well, if you do manage to reach me in my dreams, please be gentle. I'm a light sleeper.
Fair enough. Until next time, keep those minds open and those dreams expansive.
And keep those dream journals handy. You never know what insights might be waiting to be discovered.
Well, I think Signer's work ultimately points to the need for more research.
Yeah.
Especially under controlled conditions.
Right.
You know, to really understand the nuances of these communication attempts and their implications.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing to have anecdotal evidence.
Right.
But it's another to have something that's scientifically validated.
Exactly.
So I guess the big question is, if we can communicate with sleeping individuals, what does that tell us about the nature of consciousness?
Right.
And the potential for expanded communication beyond our waking state?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It really is.
And it's one that Signer doesn't claim to have all the answers to.
Right.
But he definitely opens up a fascinating avenue for exploration.
He does.
And I think that's what makes this work so valuable.
Yeah.
It challenges us to think outside the box and to consider possibilities that we might not have entertained before.
This has been a truly mind-bending deep dive.
It has.
Thank you so much for walking us through it.
My pleasure. It's been a fascinating discussion.
For listeners who want to explore this further, Signer's work is definitely a great place to start.
Absolutely. And there are also a number of other researchers and resources out there that are exploring the nature of consciousness and altered states.
Yeah, we'll be sure to include some links in the show notes.
Fantastic.
Well, until next time, keep those minds open.
And those dreams expansive.
And maybe try talking to someone in their sleep.
Just kidding, but maybe not.
Who knows what you might discover?